What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Mark 11:22. Are we ready for God's word tonight? So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Verse 24. "Therefore," or on the basis of what I just said, "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." The old King James says, "What things soever you desire when you pray." Are we together now? He says, "Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And I told us a few days ago, I think that was the day before yesterday, I said that faith is very specific. Faith is predictable. Faith is certain. It's not a guesswork. But you must understand what faith is to get even the right answers in prayers. Because some people pray. I was listening to T.L. Osborne, and he said that he was talking with a believer, and he said, "Why do you pray?" He said, "Because we have to pray. Everybody prays." He said, "Every religion prays, so we have to pray." He said, "Is that why you pray?" He said, "Yes." And it's sad but true, but there are Christians like that who just pray because they have to pray. If there's a problem, they just pray. And they just pray in hope that something will happen. Something will change. Maybe he will hear. Maybe he won't hear. There is no assurance. So he reduces prayer to what every other person does, to what every other religion does. But you see, in verse 23, Jesus explains the principle, or explains a very vital truth that we must carry into the place of prayer. Are we following? And we're going to see that today. It's very vital. It's very vital to getting results in prayer. In John 15, Jesus was teaching on prayer. He says, "If you abide in me, and my words do what? Abide in you, you will ask whatever you will of the Father, and it will be done unto you." Amen. He said, "You should ask that the Father may be what? Glorified." So, what is the fruit? Maybe we should turn to John 15. I love prayer because when we say prayer changes things, glory, we're not just sounding a nice cliche. It's the truth. John 15 from verse 5. John 15 from verse 5. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Can I say something? And you know, the life in the vine is the life in the branch. So if Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches," he's saying that the life I have is what you have. What I'm made up of is what you're made up of. And I think this is one of the closest that John came in revealing the Pauline epistles to us. I was teaching about the Pauline epistles yesterday and how identification, you remember yesterday? How identification is what determines our Christian experience. That if a Christian is yet to understand identification, then the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus will be of no value to him in this life. And this is one of the closest that John came. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, bears much fruit, not a few. Bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Isn't that powerful? Hello? Without God, we can do nothing. Without us, he will do nothing. That's why man needs to pray. Without God, man, we can do nothing. And without us, he will do nothing. That's why he needs you. The fruit that the branch bears, are you getting me? Is what men partake of. So, if God is going to reach our community, then we have to bear the fruits. I know I'm digressing a bit from what, but we're going to go back to faith. But there's something I want you to see. So he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Then verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And that's what happens when you're not connected. The longer you stay away from the things of God, it's not a curse. The longer you stay away from the things of God, you find yourself dying because it's life. Remember what we said. So you have to stay there. You have to for you to be productive, you have to be there. Are you with me? Because God never moves. He never leaves you. Some say, God, where are you? He's gone nowhere. He has said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As a matter of fact, can I say it this way? He's exactly where you left him. So you have to go back. You have to stay connected. That's why your devotions are very important. Reading those devotionals. Waking up to pray by 5 a.m. and joining us on Incense on Fire is very important. It keeps you alive. If not, you will wither. You will wither. The Bible says, they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. He said, if you abide in me, look at now, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he's saying the same thing. The way he abides in us is through his words, because his word is his person. If you abide in me and my words, I told you last Thursday or Friday that God and his word are one. If you want to abide in God, then abide in his word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask, notice now, you will ask what you desire. And it will be done for you. No if and but. No if and but. This is the same thing Jesus was saying in Mark 11, true or false? No if and but. He's not saying you might have an answer. There are no uncertainties when you understand faith in the place of prayer. No uncertainties. Then in verse 8, he says, by these my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This is what I want you to see. What is the fruit we bear as believers? The answers to what? To prayer. So no Christian can effectively bear fruit without prayer. The real fruits of the believer are the great gains in prayer. That's why prayer is key to fruit bearing. It is key to success. And Jesus taught in Mark 11, in verse 23, that there is an understanding with which we pray. If not, you will not be different from the heathens, who think that in the multitude of their words, they will be what? They will be heard. So faith is important. We're going to come back to that Mark 11. Thank you, Lord. Now, the problem with most Christians is not that they don't have faith. Because it's not possible, listen now, it's not possible for someone to be born again and not have faith. It's not possible. Peter said, whom having not seen, yet you do what? You rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Have you ever seen Jesus with your physical eyes? Come on. If you've seen, let me see your honor. But do you believe? You believe it's in your heart? You believe eternal life is in you? Not just as a Sunday school thing, you believe he's in you? Beautiful. How do you believe? By faith. So you have faith. Every believer has faith. Amen. Every believer has faith. It's right there in 1 Peter 1:8. So what do we need to do? In fact, I love what Paul said concerning the faith of the Thessalonians. He was applauding them. And he said that he's glad that their faith grows exceedingly. Okay, 1 Thessalonians, amen. And that their love was abounding more and more. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thank you, Father. Listen, the power of faith, are you with me, is the most powerful force in the life of a believer in turning any situation around. And the way to live an overcomer as an overcomer is to understand faith. That's why I told you yesterday, if the Bible says the just shall live by faith, then every day make faith is subject to study. See, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows out exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abound toward each other. Your faith grows exceedingly. Or you can put it this way, exceeding growing faith. But some believers, their faith doesn't grow. You know, you can have a baby who is not growing. You can plant a tree that's not growing, but it doesn't mean it's lifeless. So for a child of God, are we together? It's not a question of whether you have faith or not. If you're born again, according to 1 Peter 1:8, are you with me? From verse 7 to 8. You're born again, you have faith. You believe in Jesus. Now, you might not understand how to grow faith. And I'm going to explain that because it's a question of semantics. Are you with me? You might not understand how to grow faith or develop in your faith. But you have it. Let me add it this way. It's the default setting of the new creation. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, there is no longer I that does what? That lives. But who? Christ that now does what? Lives in me. He says, and the life, I told you about that life yesterday. Say, the life which I now live in this physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you following now? There is a faith to live by. And that faith was imparted to you at the point of salvation. Do you know, without the Holy Spirit, nobody can be saved? That you could even believe in God. Somebody say, well, it was the act of my will. Yes, it was the act of your will, but the conviction was the work of the Spirit. You know that? That's why I always laugh when people say, oh, I think I've sinned against the Holy Spirit. I cannot be forgiven. And they are crying. If you are crying, it's the Holy Spirit that is making you cry. It's the Holy Ghost. But you know what sin against the Holy Spirit is? And let me put it, that's not my subject tonight. But let me say this. A believer cannot commit the unpardonable sin. Mm-hmm. You're all quiet. Because in the context that Jesus said, that if you sin against the Son of Man, you can be forgiven. But a sin against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. He was not talking to Christians. He was not talking to believers. He was talking to the religious leaders who consistently did what? Opposed him and got to the point of even denying the Spirit at work in him. And what he was warning them is this: it is the Holy Ghost that brings men to conviction and imparts faith to them to get saved. Now, if you sin against that Spirit and he doesn't impart that faith to you and that conviction, you cannot be saved. Do you follow now? So maybe because you've done something really bad and you're crying, that cry in your heart is the Holy Ghost leading you to what? Repentance, to change. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I believe somebody is learning something. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to what? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He didn't say, don't think high of yourself. He only said, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. You know, some people read this scripture and think of themselves low. You say, that's a beautiful watch you have there. He said, no. What is this watch? No, that's not what it's saying. Say, that song you wrote blessed me. He said, that song, no, it's the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what it, that is not what he's saying when he says not to think more highly of yourself. Just be grateful. And let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is not insecure. Neither is Jesus insecure. So don't be afraid. You know, you can't steal his glory. You try it, he'll cut you off. You know what I mean? So don't bother yourself. But what is it? Is it but to think how? Soberly. How? As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Every believer has the measure of faith. So I have the measure of faith. Are we alive? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We have to show us some more scriptures. I want us to be establishing this. No believer should say, I don't have faith. You have faith. You might not know how to release faith. Your faith might be dormant. And that is why you are where you are. Glory. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. How many of you can call God Father? Lovely. It's by the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself does what? Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? I've got the witness of the Spirit. There's an agreement between me and the Spirit of God that I'm a child of God. I know it. Someone said, like how? Like I know that I'm a child of God. Now, that same Spirit that bears witness with your spirit that you are the child of God is the same Spirit that has imputed what? Faith to you. Glory to God. John chapter 16. I want to show you how faith. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He says, and when he has come, and you agree with me, he has come. The Holy Ghost has come. He will Notice now. Notice his job description is very clear. He will convict the world of sin. You are in the world. He will convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of sin, not the believer. He doesn't convict the believer of sin. Really? Yeah, it's there. That's what Jesus said. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, go to verse 9. He said, of sin. What is a sin? He didn't say sins. He said, of sin because they do not believe in me. So what is the work of the Holy Ghost? To help you believe in him. Do you know some of you seated here? If someone came to you to tell you what happened in your family 4 generations ago, you say it's a lie. Are you getting me? 4 generations ago. I'm not talking about 10 generations. Just four generations ago. Let's say someone walks up to you and said, do you know that 400 years ago, your grandfather used to do this, and your grandmother used to do this, and used to do this. How will you, you know, the way some of you would tell that story to someone else, you say, they used to tell us stories. But the gospel is not a story. No. Why do we speak of this message with so much what? Conviction. With so much passion. That is still alive every time we talk about it. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If not, Jesus would have been relegated. Without the Holy Spirit, everything Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection will just be relegated to history. It will just be some nice piece of literature, and then there will be confusion as to whether this is true or not. But listen, the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God alive and real. So because of him, we believe. Then he says in verse 10, he says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you now, the believer, you see me no more. So when you don't see Jesus anymore, the Holy Spirit still makes him real in your heart. You get it now? So it's the Holy Spirit that still makes Jesus real in your heart, even when it looks like you're not seeing him anymore. That's faith. That's why in the preaching of the gospel, what is revealed? The righteousness of God. From faith to faith. So I have faith. Glory. I have faith. Amen. So in Revelation chapter 2, where we read yesterday, verse 11. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. He says, he, referring to the church, who has an ear. And now, even though he's not talking about his ear, he's talking about the ear of your spirit. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Who is the overcomer? Who's the overcomer? Me. And this is where we stopped yesterday, and I'm going to pick up and say a few things, and then we close tonight. Are we getting it? You cannot ask a goat to sting. Why? It's not in its nature. Neither will you tell a bird to swim. Why? So listen now. If I tell... I just want to use this, trusting God that you're all getting it. I pray communicates what I want to say. Imagine I go and meet a bird and I say to the bird, to the bird that swims the fastest, I will give a crown of life. Yeah, even faith is laughing. That sounds ridiculous, right? Because that's not the nature, that's not the place of the bird. But if I come and I say to the fish, I say, all these fish, any of you that can swim the fastest to the other side, I'm going to give a crown of life. How many of you know I'm talking to species that are operating in their element? So when the Bible says, he who overcomes, thank you.
Amen.
He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. It means he's talking. Are we together? It means he's talking about a species of people. Because he will not be talking to us about overcoming if we are not overcomers. Did somebody get that? Say, I'm an overcomer. That means there are rewards. Now that we're born again, we have faith. Hello? There are rewards for people who live the overcoming life. There are rewards for overcoming. And let me add this. The reward is not going to heaven. It's not going to heaven. If you read the book of Revelation, there are different things. I will give to you of the tree of life. Here it says he will not be hurt. Hi. You know why I love this one? He will not be hurt by the second death. That means it will not even come near you. You will not be as one saved through fire. To another, he says if he overcomes, he says he will give a shining what? Stone. A white stone. To another, he says he will give a crown. You know, a stone with his name written on it. He said, even what will be written on that stone, nobody knows yet. That means there are rewards for overcoming. But if you are not an overcomer, you cannot overcome. So if scripture says to the believer, to him who overcomes, is because he has first made you an overcomer. And what that means is that there is no situation that confronts the believer that the believer is incapacitated in overcoming. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. So I say, why do some believers fail? How come some believers are not living victorious? It's because they don't know certain things. Like we said yesterday, we've not been called to overcome sin. We've not been called to overcome flesh. We've not been called to overcome the devil. Because we have overcome. 1 John 5, verse 4. These truths excite me. I am an overcomer. I told you that the constructions of scripture are the thoughts of God. Whatever you see in Bible, that's how God thinks about you. So, oh, thank you, Marakatoshia. You remember when the devil was going to put all his show with Job? What did God say concerning Job? He said to the devil, do whatever you want to do. One thing I know is that Job will not do what? Job will not curse me. That means God knew what Job was capable of. No wonder scripture says there's no temptation that befalls you that is not common to man. But in every temptation, God will always create a way of escape. True or false? And listen, can I say to you, there is nothing that confronts a believer that God does not know, does not trust the believer to overcome. Amen. I have this watch. I just kind of like it, so I'm always wearing it. Sometimes when I'm coming to preach, I just want to wear something else, but I like it. I sleep with it. I wake up with it. It's like my wrist band, what you guys all carry. I just like it. I know one of the first things that I saw on the park, you know, a brother bought this for me in London. One of the first things I saw on the park was that it's water resistant. In fact, they said you can use it anywhere. Except the battery needs charging. I sleep with it, go everywhere with it. It's with me. It's in water. I don't swim, but I can swim with it. I have my bath with it. Not at least I can't swim. I said, I don't swim. I can do all things. And it has never gone off. Do you know why the manufacturer wrote it on the pack? He trusts what he has made. This is water resistant. Put it in water, soak it in water, and bring it out. Someone asked me, say, Pastor, is it truly water resistant? I didn't even think twice. I pulled it. I said, take it. Drop it in the bucket of water. Drop it in the pond of water. Wherever you want to drop it. The person said, I should drop it. I said, drop it. The person held it after I brought it back. Say, well, believe and stop doubting. But see, I can subject it through that process because it's been tested. There is nothing a believer goes through that God is... See, God doesn't see you as though you will fail. He doesn't believe in his heart. He doesn't even see you as capable of failing. Because he made you an overcomer, a victor, more than a conqueror. So you begin to wonder, how come I had this path in life? How come this is happening like this? How come I don't have this money? How come I don't have this admission? How come I don't have it like others? Listen to me. When you understand the path of faith, you take your eyes off others. Because God believes that you can handle it. That's why I say to him who overcomes, there is something. And listen, until a believer begins to live by faith and understand faith, he will not even find the true joy of Christianity. You have no stories to tell. There will be no victories to be celebrated because you can't talk of victories without battles. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I know some people are locating themselves now. That's me. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Kai. That means your faith has what it takes to overcome anything in the world. You didn't hear me. There are no trying times that is beyond your faith. No financial situation that is beyond your faith. No health condition that is beyond your faith. Glory to God. Hello. Pastors, let me speak to you. There is no hard land that is beyond your faith. No place that you say the gospel cannot penetrate. No. If God sent you there and he has put you there, if you understand faith, there are no difficult lands. No difficult people. You know what I mean by no difficult people? You come to a place in faith, it's like those things do not exist. You know, a lot of us are not living by faith. We're only practicing Christianism. You know, go to your work, you come back, you read portions of the Bible. I mean, if you know what I mean. You read portions of the Bible, you know, keep a routine, then you just make some prayer, you know, enjoy your life, you know, have your three kids, two kids. I think that's the fashion now. You know, when you have three kids, you are, anybody that mistakenly has four kids this day is old fashioned, you know. So you have your three kids, cute, are you with me? You know, preferably two boys, one girl, or two girls, a boy. You have two cars, you know, one for your wife, one for yourself, and most recently, a dog. Are you with me? You know, just add. And then you're not troubling anybody in the neighborhood. You're just a nice Christian, and then you're smiling, and then you're, you know, they just know you as that good. That's not all to Christianity. That's not all to Christianity. Don't make that mistake. You know why? I'm going to shock you. There is no God-ordained path void of obstacles. And that's why you need faith. One of the reasons God imparted faith into our spirit is to overcome obstacles. Recently, I was, sometimes people say things that sound pious, but it doesn't make it real. You know that, right? Someone said, I don't know why people like to label word of faith. He said the word of faith movement, and he was talking about the people that started the word of faith movement. He said, in fact, in that particular article, they said T.L. Osborne is the father of the word of faith movement, and these were we're all preaching wrong fake message because I'm there. He said Kenneth Copeland, Joel Austin, Joyce Meyer, these are all fake prophets because they hear me, and this is the argument. That they are teaching people, look like one of the first things he said, that they are teaching people to seek the hand of God instead of seeking the face of God. So they are more interested in what Jesus gives than who Jesus is. I said, number one, it's not your place to say what they are more interested in because you don't know them. I don't know how you measure interest. Who told you they are more interested in what Jesus gives? And number two, is Jesus complaining about what we're interested in? His hands were anointed to be a blessing to the people. And in his earthly ministry, can I speak to you? Most of the people who met him were seeking his hand. It was not even a hidden fact that many people came to him because the multitudes that followed him is because he had bread and fish to give. Something was coming from his hand. Are you with me? So there is no... Where did healing come from? From his hands. The people who were dead, they brought their sick ones, that he would, their dead ones, the widow of Nain, brought her dead son. Jesus laid hands on the boy, and the boy came back to life. It was his hand. He doesn't have a problem with you seeking his hand. And he has never complained and said, all these people, all they are looking for is what is in my hand. Why wouldn't they look at my face? Never, never has he complained. The only thing is that to see forgiveness, are you getting me? You have to behold his face. That is why the more you behold his face, the more you enjoy what comes from his hands. You get it now. And most times, hear me, people receive from his hands before they see his face. And that's why we believe in miracles. That's why we teach what we teach, that his hands are open towards you. The Bible says he opens his hands and he satisfies the desires of every living thing. Then the second thing the person said in that article, I was thinking about it today and I said, why do people write this? The second thing the person said is that word of faith people teach that you can resist the will of God. Are you hearing me? They teach that you can resist the will of God by using your heart and your mouth to change situations. I said, the person who taught us that we can change situations is Jesus. It's not me. So as I was thinking, the Spirit of God... Can I read something to us? Turn to the book of Luke. Do you know the only time Jesus prayed, not my will, your will be done, was where? Thank you, sir. Luke 22, verse 41. The only time Jesus ever said, not my will, but your will be done, was in Gethsemane. Now, healing is his will. That's why every single sick person that came to him, he didn't ask whether it was the will of the Father to heal the person or not. Never did Jesus even pray whether it was the will of the Father for people to have abundant bread and fish. Never. Never. He changed the situation. When Lazarus was in the tomb, are you getting me? He didn't stand in front of Lazarus' tomb and say, Father, if it be thy will, bring him out. He said, Father, thank you because you always hear me. And he said it clearly in John 14. I came to do the will of the Father. That means everything that Jesus did was a manifestation of God's will. He was living in God's perfect will. The only time Jesus said, Father, not my will, but your will be done, is in Luke 22. And listen to me now. It's in line with God's purpose for his life. And I want to clear somebody today. Luke 22:41. Because I need to dismantle all these wrong mindsets about faith. And some people saying, God, if it's your will, if it's your will, if it's your will. And they think they are praying. Lord, if it's your will for me to do this, if that's your will. No. Listen to me. Don't be confused about the will. Because, hear me. Let me say before I read Luke 22:41. If you are abiding in God and God's word is abiding in you, see, you will find your desires messed with God's word. Did you get me? You will find your desires meshed. You will discover that his will becomes your will too. That's why faith is not the same thing as motivational speaking. Motivational speaking, see, the word of God will motivate you. The word of God will inspire you. But we're not saying, you know, they are good motivators who are not born again. People who are inspirational speakers, they are not born again. But when they talk to you, you feel happy. True or false? They tell you what you can do, how you can believe in yourself. That's not what we're teaching here. That's not what we're saying. We're not lifting flesh. I believe somebody. Well, because motivational speaking, you can motivate people without fellowship, but you cannot inspire faith without fellowship. Fellowship is a product. Faith is a product of fellowship, a relationship with God. That's why for you to have living faith, not just the church, for you to have living faith, you have to be in living relationship with God. Where God is real to you. Kai, am I talking to someone? He's alive. You love to talk to him. He talks back to you. Your conscience is void of condemnation. You are experiencing the righteousness of God. It's a free flow. You talk to him, he talks to you. That's where faith grows. So the faith we're talking about is born out of fellowship. It's not out of fellowship. It's not mustering the willpower. Tomorrow I'm going to talk to you about patience. And I trust you'll be around. But this is not mustering, because it's so strong in my heart to teach faith. So that what we're praying about is faith adventure. You need to understand faith. The Bible says, this is when Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. And he had to establish that. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, comma. 42, saying, look at the prayer. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Hello? What cup was he talking about? What cup was Jesus talking about? Now we're quiet because the pastor is talking. Anytime a pastor is talking, you have to just be quiet with your answers. Amen. So that's, you're quite wise. But listen, you want to learn something? Do you know the cup he's talking about? He's not talking about the cross. Every time this scripture has been interpreted, it's been interpreted as though Jesus at the point of death was a coward. As though he left heaven and said, I'm going to die. Then when the real stuff came, he said, oh, is it like this? If I have my way, you know, that's how we interpret the scripture. If I have my way, I wouldn't do this. But if that's what you say, people think that's what Jesus did. When he was in Gethsemane and he was praying, people feel he just done on him. So I'm going to die on the cross. So this is how I'm going to die. Then he now said, Lord, if this is how you say I should die, let your will be done. That's not what the scripture is saying. The cup he was praying for, hear me now, to be taken away. Are you blessed tonight? The cup he was praying for to be taken away was the agony he was going through in Gethsemane. The heaviness of heart. The Bible says while he was praying in that garden, what was happening to him? His sweat was dropping like blood. That means at the point where Jesus was medically, they say his blood capillaries were rupturing. That's what they call heart attack, because he was praying. And as he was praying, his heart was pounding. And death was staring him there in the garden. But listen, his blood spilled in Gethsemane is not going to bring redemption. It's his blood spilled on the cross that is going to bring redemption. So what you are saying is that this cup of death in this garden, let it do what? Pass over me so that I can make it to the cross and finish what he has asked me to do. That is the cup he was talking about. And that is faith. That's a prayer of faith. When you are saying, look, no matter what it takes, and I'm going to show you that tomorrow when we talk about patience. No matter what it takes, let your will, it's your will I came here to do, not my will. Death is looking at me in the face. It looks like my blood capillaries and my veins and arteries are trying to burst, but not this death. It's the death, the way you want it, that's how it's going to be. It's a focused person. Hebrews chapter 5, let me show you this. I'll prove this to you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Now, let's read from verse 6. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6. So I have faith. I have world overcoming faith. The Bible says, as he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Talking about the priesthood of Jesus. But look at verse 7. Who, in the days of his flesh, notice now, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with what? Vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him also from death. Which death? Come on. Which death? It's talking about the death that was staring him in Gethsemane. It's not talking about death on the cross. Listen to me. Jesus boldly went on the cross and defeated death. You need to understand that. He was not asking God to save him from death, because it is through death that he destroyed him that had the power of death. What death is he talking about? He's saying, look, Lord, I trust you. Remember, he's a man. He said, Lord, I believe you. I will not die in this garden. Because the Bible said this prayer was made in the days of his flesh. This prayer was made in the days of his flesh. That's when he made that prayer. And look at what scripture says. And was heard because of his godly fear. What is godly fear? Reverence for God. When I remember you were in Home Cell Church last Sunday. That's what reverence for God. That's what godly fear is. That means I prefer your will, not this kind of death. I want to confront death in death on the cross. And God answered him. So when people say that we should submit to the will of God, sickness is not submitting to the will of God. Poverty is not submitting to the will of God. Failure is not submitting to the will of God. Things not being done as it should in accordance with God's word doesn't mean you are submitting to the will of God. And that's why I told you yesterday or one of these days, I told you that you should be like the disciples. If you've seen something in God's word and you get a contrary result, rather than just allowing sleeping dogs lie, you should ask questions. You should be like the disciples. Why couldn't we cast this devil out? Because you say we can. Are you with me? You say, I believe God for money, and the money didn't come. Why didn't the money come? Those are the kind of questions you should ask. You say, I'll lay my hands upon the sick, they will recover. If they didn't recover, why didn't they recover? That's because I know I am an overcomer. Hello. Not saying, well, that was the will of God. That's not the will of God. Amen, amen. So one more scripture, and then we close tonight. Luke chapter 17. From verse 5. How do you grow your faith? that they say your faith grows exceedingly. Jesus was teaching his disciples in Luke 17. Are we together? So he asked, and he said to them, he said, look, it's not possible for offense not to come, but woe to him through whom offense will come. He said, it's better for a millstone. Some of you might not know what millstones are. A granary. If you go to granaries in these days, they have blenders, they have all kinds. But if you go to granaries, you see, you have an idea. You know that giant stone, if they tie it to your neck, there's no way you... Jesus says it's even better to have a millstone tied to your neck than to offend one of these little ones. So then I said, Lord, how often should we forgive? He said, look, if someone offends you, do what? You should forgive the person 70 times 7. And if you read it in context, what he was saying is that in a day. And I'm telling you the truth, you must have some real problem for someone to have offended you 490 times in a day. Only you. Only you. I think at some point you should think you have a problem. You know, when somebody thinks everybody has a problem, automatically you know that the person has a problem. Yeah. So the disciples were wondering, you mean I should forgive 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 70 times 7 in a day, 490 times in a day? So they said to Jesus, do what? Increase our faith. Because without faith, this is not possible. So Jesus, and you know what they were saying? Increase our faith. If you read it in the Aramaic, in the literal translation, it means join your faith with our own. Add to our faith. And I'm going to continue from here tomorrow. Because this is where most Christians are sometimes. They don't have faith in their faith. They don't believe that the faith of God in them can produce results. So they are always relying on another person's faith. You must learn to stand on your own faith. Because your faith is powerful and your faith can change the world. Play the keyboard for me. Did you get God's word tonight?
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it. Because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.